is heard Mondays starting at 7 p.m. It is almost 8 p.m. Stay tuned for Housing Notebook coming up.
Good evening and welcome to Housing Notebook here on WBAI in New York. My name is Scott Somer. I'm with the Metropolitan Council on Housing, New York City's oldest tenant union. If you need help with a housing problem, give Met Council a call at 212-979-0611. That's 212-979-0611. Monday and Wednesday from 1:30 to 8 p.m. and Tuesday from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and Friday from 1:30 to 5 p.m. So once again, that's 212-979-0611, Monday and Wednesday from 1:30 to 8 p.m., Tuesday from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and Friday from 1:30 to 5 p.m. And we can get you involved in the struggle for decent, affordable housing, help you organize a tenant association in your building, advise you on how to apply for emergency rent assistance grant, which is critical to do. And there's still, folks, a lot of money out there. So we'll talk about nationally, out of the $25 billion that was allocated, only 26% of it's been distributed. And in New York, the number's even less. So the percentage is even less. So yes, and if you need it, you should apply for it, of course. Once again, 212-979-0611 is the number to call Met Council on Housing. You could follow us on the web as well at metcouncilonhousing.org, metcouncilonhousing.org, and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We're frank, everything happens now on Twitter and Instagram. It's like, I don't know, where we, that's how I found out Ed Asner passed away, Twitter and Instagram. And take a moment to remember the great Ed Asner, great champion of many social justice causes, and even paid my salary once when the Nestle boycott was about to go broke. He sent in a check and wasn't looking for any praise, just a nice big check. So thank you, Mr. Grant. for all you did. So MetCouncilOnHousing.org on the web, info at MetCouncilOnHousing if you want to get on our activist email list. Also, as I said, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I tweet as well at Scott M. Sommer, ScottMSommer. We have a sister website, thetenant.org. You can check that one out as well for news updates. And, of course, we come to you 3 out of 4 Mondays here on WBAI. And you can find us at 99.5 FM in the New York broadcast area or on the World Wide Web at WBAI.org. That is WBAI.org. where we are streaming live and our programs are archived. If you miss a show, you can go back and listen to it through the archive section of the website. And you can even download our programs and keep them forever if that is what you are so inclined to do. I want to thank Vajra for filling in and covering for me last week as I was away. So I actually got to take a COVID vacation, which was nice with my little one. So that was good. But now we're back. And we won't be here next Monday. It's Labor Day. So, of course, in the evening will be Ken Rosenberg, Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. They've just become one person to Mimi. Mimi Nash and Ken Rosenberg. But no, Ken and Mimi with Building Bridges, I'm sure they're going to be having their Labor Day special next Monday evening. So, of course, tune in for that. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Let's see. Now, WBAI, just a little housekeeping here. This radio station survives solely on the kindness of gentlemen strangers, to quote Blanche DuBois. So we need you to be a member and support WBAI. And you can do that by becoming a WBAI buddy. What does it mean to be a WBAI buddy? It means that you make a monthly recurring pledge to WBAI, whatever you can afford, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25, whatever it is that fits in your budget. And then think hard about squeezing a few more dollars out. And you can make it a monthly pledge through your checking account or your debit card, your credit card, whatever. And the money will just come in automatically every month. And this way we can try to cut down on doing the big on-air fundraisers and just keep it limited as much as possible to off-air fundraising, which is what that would be. So go to WBAI.org. Click on the donate link or click on the WBAI buddy link and become a WBAI buddy and know that you're helping keep a radio station on the air that for close to 60 years has allowed a tenants' rights program to air continuously, uninterrupted, and not going to get evicted. So do that. Do that, please. BAI, WBAI does not need an eviction moratorium to keep tenants' rights programming on the air. We do it all the time. Support the radio station. Become a WBAI buddy. And when you do it in the name of Housing Notebooks. This way, they see our supporters are stepping up here to keep the show and the station on the air because there's lots of good stuff to listen to. All right, quickly, the rent guidelines. Give you those if you are renewing a lease, and I'm just going to skip to the ones starting October 1st. If you're renewing a lease beginning October 1st in New York City and your rent stabilized, if you're doing a rent stabilized lease in New York City, then you will be offered a rent freeze for the first 6 months of a 1 year lease. This is, you know, very logical here. A rent freeze for the first 6 months of a 1 year lease, a 1.5% increase for the last 6 months of a 1 year lease. So, you know, of course, I will bet dollars to donuts that many landlords have just sent out 1.5% rent increase for 1 year and tenants will pay them and be overcharged. So be careful and look at it. Make sure it says zero for the first 6 months, then 1.5 for the second 6 months. On a 1 year lease. And then if you're taking a 2 year lease, why would you, on these guidelines, it's 2.5%, for a 2 year lease renewal. The lease is renewing October 1st through September 30th of 2022. And if you're in Nassau County, it's 1% for 1 year, 2% for 2 year. In Rockland County, it's 0.5% for 1 year, 0.75% for a 2 year renewal. And in Westchester, it's 0.5% for 1 year. And 1% for 2 years. But obviously, the New York City Rent Guidelines Board must know something about the economy and COVID because they know 6 months into the rent year, everything's going to be fine and people can pay rent increases. So those are the rent guidelines. And you can find all that info, I'm sure, on MetCouncilOnHousing.org or thetenant.org. And we can even go to the rent guidelines board website. If you type in New York City Rent Guidelines Board, they actually have a really great little chart they put out that you can download that goes back through all 50 years of orders. The order is 1 for 53. So you can actually see if you've been overcharged. You know, you might want to check that out. Also, please apply. Even though the eviction moratorium is scheduled to end tomorrow, please do apply. It doesn't mean you no longer can apply for the Emergency Rent Assistance Program. You can do that. You know, just go to the Google it, Emergency Rent Assistance Program, New York State. It'll bring you to the website. Or if you live in New Jersey or Connecticut, they have programs as well, and you can find out where they are. You actually can go to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, has a whole dashboard and section, and they break down all the programs. You can actually find the one, because in some states and even parts of New York, a little bit, I think on the town of Oyster Bay, I'm not sure, there are some parts of New York where you actually apply to your locality, although the vast bulk majority of tenants in New York would be applying through the state, including New York City. But you can go to the National Low Income Housing Coalition's website, NLIHC.org, and click on their emergency rent assistance links. And there's all this great information there. It's at NLIHC.org, National Low Income Housing Coalition. Okay, it's 8:11 in the evening here in New York. You are tuned to Housing Notebook on WBAI, coming to you through the wonders of Zoom from my living room and others. And I have my guests unmute their mics so we can start chatting with them. As we said, the eviction moratorium in New York ends tomorrow night. What little shreds of it are left after the Supreme Court decided to eviscerate in unsigned opinions the national CDC rent. At first, they knocked out a big chunk of the New York rent, the eviction moratorium, a few weeks ago. Then what was left was, if you apply for the emergency rent assistance program, you know, you'd be able to get a delay on your eviction or stop a proceeding. That does that come to an end tomorrow also, that coverage, Andrea?
So if you've applied for ERAP, or the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, you get protections until they make a decision on your case. Hopefully you'll get the money, and then you get protections for a year.
Right.
And all you have to do is apply. You do not need to be accepted to get the protections.
Right. And that was Andrea Shapiro, by the way, the program coordinator for Met Council on Housing, and joining us this evening for a little bit. She's with us along with Reverend Frank Morales, who is one of the people tomorrow helping organize tomorrow's action, the clergy and community march to extend the eviction moratorium, because it does expire in New York tomorrow, and the CDC one is out the window for now, kaput. And it doesn't look like, well, Congress ain't around even to do with something if they wanted to. So they're not back till probably after Labor Day. So New York obviously has to deal with this situation. So tomorrow there is a march, and I'm going to ask Reverend Morales to speak with us about that in a second. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. And just to let you know, nationally, as we said, there are, you know, $25 billion on the table there for tenants, which really, in reality, we say it's assistance for tenants, but in the end, it's really assistance for landlords, because it's like it just passes through. You know, it's like the tenant triggers the money. And in some instances, the landlord can apply on behalf of the tenant. You know, the tenant triggers the money, and the money goes to the landlord at the end of the day. So it's really, they call it the, you know, it's money that people say, oh, it's money for tenants. We're giving money to tenants. But I love it when people complain that we're giving money to tenants, because whenever we're giving money to tenants, we're just giving dollars to landlords, you know, because that's where the rent money ends up. But anyway, a lot of that money's still around. New York hasn't even given out half of theirs yet. I mean, New York's given out, it's just an infinitesimal, a very small amount in New York. And our new governor, this is my first time on the air saying the words Governor Hochul. Our new governor seems to be committed to righting the wrongs and malfeasance and nonfeasance of the Cuomo administration, try to get this money out. She's shocked and appalled by it. Let's see what she's able to do about it. But Reverend Morales, good evening and welcome to Housing Notebook. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Scott, for having me, and nice to be with you and Andrea.
It was a pleasure to have you. So I know you're active with GOALS, the Good Old Lower East Side. You're an Episcopal minister. As we were chatting before you came on the air, you're officially retired, I guess, from, full-time parish rec it would be.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean much like when Ed Asner stopped being the president of the Screen Actors Guild, he still remained a steadfast activist, and so are you. So even though so you're one of the folks that helped drive us to what we have going on today tomorrow. So why don't you tell us about what's the event tomorrow and what motivated you?
The event is it's a protest, a rally and a protest to force the legislature, New York State legislature, and the governor to come up with an immediate plan to both extend the current moratorium to June 22, 2022, or minimally to extend it for as long as it takes to distribute the funds that have already been allocated, and to cancel the debt, cancel these rents, take the pressure off of people, particularly now with COVID surging. The struggle to prevent evictions is really about saving lives, because to force people out, it's already a violent, it's a violation of people's rights, their homes, their very homes. But during this period in particular, it's a threat to their life and the lives of their families. So it's really about saving lives, to stopping these evictions. So we're going to gather at, this is Housing Justice for All, Met Council, a number of organizations around the city. On the Lower East Side here, the Lower East Side Defense Network, which is a project of GOLD's. We'll meet at noontime tomorrow at 109 West 38th Street, which is the offices of City Marshal. His name escapes me right now, but he's particularly, he's made a lot of money throwing people out of their homes, apparently. We're going to meet at his office at 109 West 38th Street at 12 noon, and then we're going to march to the governor's office on 3rd Avenue and 4041st Street. The movement composed, particularly at this time, emphasizing clergy and people of faith and multi-faith organizations around the city, who have committed to sign a letter, a petition of sorts, to the governor, imploring the NYPD and the marshals and the governor to do the right thing. In the case of the NYPD, to not collaborate with city marshals in the evicting of people. They can serve and protect, stand up for citizens of New York in that way, and also to the governor to do her thing. So we're hoping tomorrow. The letter has garnered, I think, at this point, around 120 signatures, a very diverse group who will be participating in this, hopefully, and make the point that, it's all, evictions are a lot of things, but on a really fundamental level, it's a moral issue. So that we've been successful, and I'm very heartened by it, in bringing together, this group, multi-faith, who are all committed in some way. There are some common core beliefs that unite us all, doing for the other as we would have done for us is one of them. But the other one is about caring about your neighbor, so that we stand together, we organize around community self-defense. The other thing that I've been working on with some people, particularly in the Brooklyn Eviction Defense Group in Brooklyn, BED, is to plan for, organize a plan B. In other words, if plan A, which is to get the powers that be to do the right thing, whether it's the banks and the well-heeled power structure to alleviate this pressure on tenants, doesn't work. And we're facing, I think it was Newsday that coined that tsunami of evictions phrase, right? And we are, we're with that place, that we also look to organizing blockades, as they folks did in the 30s during the Depression, literally blocking, preventing the marshals from evicting people, and demonstrate a kind of a solidarity at the base in the neighborhoods that will force the these folks to reevaluate the strategy, if it is a strategy, the brutality of mass evictions that we're not going to stand for. We got to look at that plan B, heat on the street, to prevent these evictions of our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew, I want to bring you back into the conversation for a few minutes because I know you have a time constraint. So they're going back to Albany Wednesday. There's already a piece of legislation I know that had been put in by Assemblywoman Niu, and I think it was Senator Biagi.
Biagi.
And that would go through October. Is that the focus, Andrea, of what Wednesday's going to be, or do we know other details of what we think may happen?
So leaking out of Albany, we're actually hearing that it's going to be extended even further. Right now, what we're hearing is that leadership wants the eviction moratorium to be extended to January 15th of next year.
Martin Luther King's actual birthday.
Oh, look at that. So
yeah,
that will lead to a nice action in January.
Yeah,
I think it's really good that they'll be back in session when it expires next time and getting ready to run for re-election.
And in light of, do we have any details? Because obviously the Supreme Court, knocked out the you can't self-certify. So do we have any details on what they're going to try to craft to try to shoehorn into the box that, Brian Kavanaugh and the rest wanted us to be in?
Yeah, we have some idea. So the problem was that you couldn't be challenged on your form until after the eviction moratorium was over. And what it looks like is they're going to allow challenges to show extreme hardship. It looks like the landlord's going to have to show that they're experiencing the extreme hardship in court, and that's how they're going to be able to evict someone if they can do that. Mm-hmm. And as we know with rent stabilization, almost no landlords ever file a hardship form. And we can't imagine that they'll all of a sudden be rushing to open up their books to the courts.
So, but this is not a foregone conclusion, obviously.
It's definitely something that, we're still, listening to Twitter, calling people, trying to figure out if this is what's going to happen. We're pushing really hard, which is why we sell the action tomorrow. And we've been pushing hard for weeks. Last week, we had 17 people arrested, including, I believe, 7 elected officials, something like that. Right. And a lot of those elected officials right now are going to go up to Albany and they're going to be able to look their colleagues in the eye for the first time in over a year and really speak for the tenants of New York.
So they're meeting in person now, right? Because there's no more Zoom legislation.
Yes. We'll definitely change the dynamic. And I think we'll be for the best in the end for our tenants.
Is the Capitol actually open to the public to come and lobby them, or it's just the legislature can be in the Capitol?
We haven't heard yet. I can't wait to go back to Albany. So hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that update. And we'll give it out again, get paper. But if you go to hj4a.org/backtosession, if you go there, you can, if you click on that, then I think it helps you call your elected officials. If you go there, hj4a.org/backtosession. And if you go there, you can call your elected officials and tell them to, reinstitute the eviction moratorium at a time when actually, the courts are trying to open up, and the chief administrative judge has been sending out anti-tenant pro-landlord memos in light of the Supreme Court decision in Washington. So there's a lot. This is, far from over, even if the moratorium gets, reenacted here in New York, and if assuming Governor Hochul signs it, I'm sure we can bet money it'll be a challenge in the courts from the landlord groups. By the way, the Alabama and Georgia challenge that went up to the Supreme Court, Alabama and Georgia have given out, I think, less than 3% of their emergency rent assistance money. Some incredibly small amount. Hmm. Yet the landlords are challenging the there's money there for them. But so, Andrea, I want to thank you for the update because I know you're going to have to go in a few minutes. But, Frank, I want to keep going with you. And so you're talking about a blockade and stuff. And first, I need to ask you, did you have to get out the whiteout to change the name of the governor on the petition, or did you? No.
It was drafted just about the time she assumed her position there.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting. I mean, I think Governor Hochul is a very has a long history. She's a woman of faith. You know, she actually got her law degree at Catholic University. She is.
I didn't know any of this.
Oh yeah, no, she's very proudly, she's very proudly has spoken of at times over the years of, her being a person of faith and whatever. Oh,
There are a number of Catholic signers on the petition.
Mm-hmm.
Scores of them. And that's encouraging.
It's helpful.
People turn around, they get knocked off their horse and they see the light. So mm-hmm. let's hope that she's able to do the right thing here.
Mm-hmm. So in speaking to folks, I mean, I know I know you have contact with in various communities, but what are you hearing from, I would use the phrase, not necessarily your flock, but from, people who contact, you're in contact with various actions as a man of faith and as a minister and the clergy. Well, what are you hearing from folks about how they're dealing with this?
Well, unfortunately, you hear a few different things. People who are afraid. I spent a lot of time in the Bronx. I work at a church there on weekends and talk to people there. And there are a number of people who are really, they're afraid they're going to lose their homes. In a lot of cases, are already planning to leave. Don't feel they'll ever be able to pay off the debt.
The last thing people should do is
right
self-evict themselves or just move out. I mean, there's no reason to leave move out until you're ordered to by a court, definitely, and especially with this rental money there. But that I just want to make that point to people because we're hearing a lot of that people are just like
I know but it's I talked to Uraldi at Casa, and Wasim talks about this too here in the Lower East Side. But the other side of the coin that I've noticed is a certain level of combativeness and in the face of this, they're pushing me out of my home. It reminds me of Mary Lee Ward years, about 10 years ago. We organized a blockade of her home. She'd been, was about to be evicted as a consequence of the fraud, predatory loan scheme. In Brooklyn, this is 84-year-old black Bed-Stuy grandma who'd been in her house for 40 years. And she had you're going to have to carry me out of here, that kind of attitude. So on the other side of the coin, at CASA a couple of weeks back, they asked me to come lead a workshop on the kind of an outline of tactics to block these marshals, right? It was kind of a teaching of sorts on that, beginning that discussion. And there were a good 40 people there, and they were really just, I was inspired. There were a few people there who were afraid, of losing their homes. But for the most part, these were people who were very ready to struggle and fight back. So I think, in terms of that, that kind of plan B, if plan A doesn't work out, I have some confidence that we can do that. But, generally people who are in this level of debt and in arrears and so forth, they're afraid. They don't know really what to do. And a lot of these folks, too, we're talking about the ERAP program. It's about 200,000 people, I guess, roughly, who've applied. Out of a supposed 500,000 people here in the city who are under, heavily rent burden, so to speak, most people who are eligible for this program probably haven't applied. So, part of our responsibility, I think, along with the general move towards the grassroots going into the communities and organizing our defense there, is to set up tables and alert people to that they should apply. They should apply for this, as Andrea is pointing out, just sending in the application at least affords you some level of protection and would therefore alleviate some of that fear. So outreaching to the, to our neighbors on the streets in our neighborhoods seems to be a key thing that we'll be looking at, you know, in the near future here. But yeah, so you get both. You get the people who are really afraid and then others who are ready to fight.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, this is Housing Notebook on WBAI. It's 8:30 in the evening. My name is Scott Somer. We're talking with Reverend Frank Morales, who is one of the folks helping spearhead tomorrow a clergy and community march to extend the eviction moratorium. As we know, it expires in New York tomorrow. And the march is tomorrow at 12 noon, gathering at 109 West 38th Street, which is the site of one of New York City's many city marshals who perform evictions. And they'll be marching to Governor Hochul's office at 633 Third Avenue, which is between 40th and 41st Street, and presenting a clergy letter to the governor asking her to extend the moratorium, which she's publicly stated she wants to do. But, you know, it ain't over till it's till she signs the legislation, which hopefully will be voted on Wednesday in Albany as the legislature is coming back in. And I gather she'll be giving a message of necessity so the bill doesn't have to age for 3 days and stuff. So have you spoken with folks? Because one of the things that's come up a lot is that the application process is really hard. You have to do it online. The website, you try, and a lot of folks don't have a computer. Try if doing it on your phone is probably close to impossible. Yeah. I mean, what are you hearing from folks from that? The people
speaking? Yeah, it's a common refrain is I've already filled it out, and the left arm is telling me that I haven't filled it out, but then the right arm from the very same agency is telling me that I'm okay, and all of that kind of thing, double messages. Glitches, people having trouble, and these are folks who can handle the internet. People who don't have that, are internet, they're kind of illiterate in that area. They're really behind the ball, but it's the process is so obscenely absurd. It boggles the imagination. it almost seems like some sort of conspiracy. You know, they're going to take the money back. It was just to dangle this in front of us to get us all off guard. Oh, they're going to alleviate this with this debt. So, and everybody kind of lays back, and then the hammer comes down, and they take the money back. You know, I mean, this is cynical. I realize, but it's so dysfunctional from what we hear. People, you know, and so on. That's why I'm stressing that maybe this new legislation, this new layer of legislating that is going on as we speak can fix some of that, can make it so maybe the owners, work with the state and immediately just cancel the debt of the tenant. In other words, try to alleviate some of this dysfunctional aspect regarding particularly people who really have a difficult time navigating the internet and all of that approach. Maybe some hard copy way they can fill it out or something. It's been very difficult for people. And as I said, not even half of the people, presumably, given the ballpark figures, haven't applied for these funds. They're just out there in the wind if this thing comes down. You know, hopefully we get some more time to break down some of these obstructions and better inform people as to how they can protect themselves.
So what are the thrusts of the letter or the petition for the governor? What are the points in there?
The letter basically asks, I wish I had a copy. I don't have a copy handy here. I should. The letter basically asks that the NYPD, the New York City Marshal, the marshals refrain from evicting people. And as I said, originally the focus was going to be on the NYPD, and it's been broadened to include, the governor and so forth, and raises moral issues. As a letter that's signed by people of faith, the clergy people, emphasizing the central principle of caring for our neighbors as something that unites us all. We've come together in order to express our horror at the likelihood of these mass evictions and so on. Lo and behold, we've gotten over 120 signatures or so as we speak. And this is only over the course of a week and a half. I think it's worth raising the moral issue, particularly as we move ahead. Because, again, these connections that people of faith and clergy of varying traditions and so on are making now are connections that we can build on in the future. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing now. You know, there were some who were skeptical. I don't know. There's a lot of people. They're not going to come out. There was a certain cynicism there. But we overcame that, and I think it's teaching. I'm very impressed by it, and I'm hoping that we can build on it as we move ahead. One of the things that I think we need to think about in terms of the future is that the COVID crisis, this housing crisis has exposed the dysfunction and the injustice, not only in the healthcare system regarding COVID, but the housing system as a whole, that at this, you know, this crisis that we're in, if we are successful in organizing and building, more bridges, to quote one of your comrades, and building our power as a housing movement that unites, not only tenants and so forth, but also, people who don't have a house, along with people who are just taking houses through direct action, and all the various aspects of the housing movement in a common platform, and pushes forward a radical housing agenda that gets us out of this housing for profit system. In other words, this crisis that we're in could be a really big opportunity for our movement if we're able to seize the time. And I think this is that, this chronological time, and then there's Kairos time. It's like, yeah, this is, what time? It's like the kids, right? Yeah. It's the time, right? And, with this level of involvement on the part of faith leaders who, maybe I'm prejudiced, but, they have a certain critical role in the struggle. And the fact that they've come out this way, I think augurs well, and our movement has come together to fight. It's a desperate fight, but I think people are stepping up, and I think that's good. And I'd like to see us develop more collectively, wider, particularly among the poor, people who we don't often don't have that kind of level connections that we should. And continue to grow and build this movement. But the immediate thing is to alleviate this pressure on people, because we could be looking at a massive shift of demographics and fueling gentrification and so on and so forth, a rise in homelessness all around the country that would be unprecedented. And I think that's the real danger. So, that's the immediate goal to prevent that.
And I think it's also an important point to make is that people are eligible for this emergency rent assistance money regardless of immigration status. So if you're undocumented, unlike some of the other programs, you are eligible to apply for and receive this money. Exactly. And so people should not be afraid to apply because of immigration status.
Yeah.
If there are some clergy listening within the sound of our voice this evening and they want to get to you before tomorrow to get their name on the letter, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can, you can get it through Housing Justice for All.
On their website?
I don't know if they put it on their website, but if, you talk to any of the I'm trying to think, because I know they put it on Sumathi, and I think Sia told me they have it on their site now. Or you possibly can get it through the Crown Heights Tenant Association. I know Joel and people there could get it to them as well.
Actually, the letter is on the website, housingjusticeforall.org. If you spell that out, you can actually see the letter.
Oh, it's there.
It's up here. It says very over 100, and it is a diverse group. And I'm sure if you find the letter there, if you write them, I'm sure they'll happily add your
The modern technology. You can actually sign it on, you know, it's one of those kind of documents mm-hmm. that you can just sign it directly and it'll appear magically right. on the letter.
That's great. Well, good luck. Thank you for everything you're doing. Good luck tomorrow.
I appreciate
it. I hope it goes well.
Yeah. And thank you for having us. And, you know, let's keep up the fight. And congratulations on your, you know, your decades on this, right? My son thinks I was hanging around during the days of Moses, but I tell him, no, I don't go back that far, you know.
Well, anyway. as I often talk to some of the newer folks at the radio station, I go, I know how to edit reel-to-reel tape. I don't know how to do this digital stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right.
Well, good
all right,
luck, thanks. And come back anytime.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. And you're tuned to listener sponsored WBAI in New York. This is Housing Notebook. My name is Scott Sommer. We're going to have time for some calls tonight. We haven't done that in ages. If you want to call in, comment, a question, need help with a housing problem, whatever, or want to ruminate on the eviction moratorium potentially ending, it's 212-209-2877. 212-209-287 is the number to call. If you have a comment or a question or need help with a housing problem, and while we await your call, you can take a listen to this. 212-209-2877. Hold on. Sorry, I think I thought I was sharing this properly. Okay, let me try that again.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day? Headlines, breadlines blow my mind, and now this deadline, eviction or pay. Song when the chords sound wrong, though they once sounded right and rare. But the notes are sour. Where is the power you once had to ignite the air? And we're hungry and frozen. It's a life that we've chosen. How are we gonna pay? They're turning blue. Light up a mean blade. Poster, screenplay. How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay last year's rent?
Don't scream, Maureen. It's me, Joanne, your substitute production manager. Hey, hey, hey. Did you eat? Don't change the subject, Maureen. But darling, you haven't eaten all day. You won't throw up. The digital delay didn't blow up exactly. There may have been one teeny tiny spark. You're not calling Mark.
How do you stay on your feet when on every street it's trick or treat? And tonight it's trick. Welcome back to town. Oh, I should lie down. Everything's brown and oh, I feel sick.
Where is he?
Getting dizzy.
How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay last year's rent?
Allison, baby, you sound sad. I don't believe those two after everything I've done. Ever since our wedding, I'm dirt. They'll see I can help them all out in the long run.
The music ignites tonight with passionate fire.
I'm not a theater person.
The narration crackles and pops with incendiary wit.
Never be a theater person.
Zoom in as they burn the past to
Rent. You're tuned to Housing Notebook here on WBAI in New York. 212-209-2877. If you have a comment or question, need help with a housing problem, let's see if we can go to the first caller. Yes. Hello?
Yes. Aloha to the beloved community.
Hi.
I hope Frank is still listening. I want to bring up something that Vaja helped me flesh out last week. She made an excellent point that I keep forgetting to make. But it's almost like we don't know what to think, because the people who set up this program for so-called rent help must have known that it couldn't even come close. And as an example, someone who's been a former tenant activist and advocate, that the one-shot deal where people needed help with their rent, that was many, many times less burdensome. Didn't require the internet or 8-page application and the left and the right, as Frank was explaining. So it's just a head shaker. Now, of course, when we look at Canada, this is a point I was making with Vaja, Canada and developed European countries, they saw this coming. So Canada at the beginning, at one question, having problems making making ends meet, $2,000 a month, and another $1,000 if you're in BC for the first time. So each month, people in Canada and European developed countries were able to pay their bill, because even if people manage to get through the net, the web, it only takes care of 1 year. Now, the point that Vaja made, Scott, was the fact that it also took into account people who became sick and, you know, rather than just force themselves to go work, which a lot of people didn't. That's why it's so hard to get over, one reason to get over the pandemic. But Vaja made that point that those Canadians, et cetera, they accommodated all of that. And then she said, well, the U.S. doesn't do it like that. She made some excellent points. So that's my point. We have to do it a different way, and because the way we're doing it just makes no sense.
That's right. It hasn't worked for a long time. That's true. This is the way we do aid and housing programs, in part, has helped create some of these problems. Those are excellent points. Thank you for calling. Call back soon.
Thank you.
All right, let's take another call. 212-209-2877. Hello, is the caller there?
How are you guys? Yes.
Hi,
hello.
How are you? Yep, you're on the air.
Very well, very well this evening. My name's Doug. I'm from Staten Island.
Hey, Doug.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for taking the call. I agree with the last caller. You know, you have these kind of conflicting things with property rights and the general welfare clause of the Constitution. You know, the government should be handling this and taking care of this as long as they've stuck their fingers in it, which they rightfully did. But the question I was asking, number one, if you could, and please don't forget this, you kind of tossed out almost like a throwaway thing. You said the chief magistrate coming out with anti-tenant rhetoric. Is that of the entire court system or of the rental court system? That's number
one. It's the chief administrative judge of the state, is my characterization of what I've read about the memos that he's been putting out now that the Supreme Court has invalidated the eviction moratoriums about, you know, basically limiting the number of the amount of notice that tenants might get if they've defaulted on a case, because, you know, a very confusing situation was created when they allowed landlords to begin commencing non-payments months ago, but they were not setting any court dates for them. And they also were telling tenants, you know, that it got very confusing about, do I need to answer? They're not being set for the calendar. Things aren't moving forward. So, yeah, I view this as him tilting towards the landlords.
Is that a legal opinion, or is it a subjective thing which the other judges can take or leave?
It's kind of, I don't know the legal weight of it. It's like a administrative memo. Judges may try, some judges may ignore it and you know, act in a more fair manner.
Okay. Thank you for that. Number two, the ancillary, which I kind of even shy away from using that word. I mean, there's a classic case, I think it was in either Arkansas or Arizona, where they evicted a woman because of this, and they had some sort of payment scheduled there, but they were fouling it up. They evicted her, and 2 hours later, they took her two children from her child welfare services, saying that she couldn't provide a proper home for them.
I had not heard that. That's just horrifying.
Yeah, it was a classic case, I'm sure. Well, anyway, the other thing is regarding the actual ERAP, I'm not really sure regarding the Supreme Court opinion whether that obviates the actual interpretation that is in existence right now of this one-year, hold on evictions or not. And the gentleman who's talking about the protest there, is there a way for the state assembly and Senate to actually look at a bill that would say, listen, they're going to hit us with takings clause anyways, the owners associations and the rest of it. Why not take this on anyway? And since the state is involved in it heavily and the city and so on, why not actually have them present their cases in court to the state? And then the state will have to weave out over the next year or so the people who, you know, took advantage of the rights under the ERAP, took advantage of it when they could have paid the rent and you know, sacked them for it later on.
Well, the one year thing is if you accept money from the ERAP program. When you apply, just by the mere act of a tenant applying does not get them a year. It gets them a delay until their application is, you know, adjudicated, until there's a determination made on the application. But if the landlord, if you do get the money approved and the landlord accepts the money, the landlord has to agree not to evict you for a year.
But the people actually get the chance to go into the courts with, I understand, legal assistance. Is that correct?
Well, now if you're being sued, obviously you're entitled to legal assistance. Many tenants are now in New York City under right to counsel. And then outside of the city, you know, there are some legal assistance, but there are also tenants who are not being sued, but who are behind in their rent and applying to get the money before they get sued. And if the landlord accepts the ERAP money, then they also have to make an agreement that they won't be evicting someone for a year. There probably are still grounds. You know, I'm sure there are some exceptions to that rule, but as a general rule, they're making the agreement not to evict someone for a year.
What do you think of my suggestion that this relegates the owners association versus the state? They're going to use it anyway in all these other cases for the takings clause of the Constitution. So why not say, okay, listen, we've stopped paying rent, these people having to pay rent because they have a situation in which they aren't able to do it. We will pay their rents, and then we will find the ones who took advantage of it illegally.
Well, I think that the ability for the state to do that exists now. I mean, obviously, if people make false applications, then obviously they're subjecting themselves to welfare fraud, for lack of a better phrase.
A point I was going to bring up. So why not exactly? I'm saying, can the
that exists now. There's nothing new needs to be added to the law. Bill. If you're filing a false application, you're subject to various crimes, but I'm actually just about out of time here.
So there's my point. Why can't the state and the assembly, the Senate and the assembly?
They don't need to do anything more. Those laws all exist. That stuff all exists on the books. They don't have to add anything. That can happen today.
It makes it easy for the state to say, listen, stop pestering the tenants.
If someone files a false application with the government for any form of aid, they're subject to criminal prosecution. But I got to run. I'm out of time. I got to go. Thank you. And we are just about out of time. It is 8:55 in the evening here in New York. Like I said, we won't be here next week. It's Labor Day. Ken and Mimi will probably have, I bet we'll have the Labor Day, Building Bridges Labor Day special celebrating Labor Day and workers. So tune into that. If you need help with a housing problem, give my counsel a call, 212-979-0611, 212-979-0611. 970-690-611. Come to the rally tomorrow and March, gathering at noon at 109 West 38th Street in Manhattan. That's between 5th and 6th Avenues. And we march into Governor Hochul's office at 633 3rd Avenue. Clergy and community march to extend the eviction moratorium and apply. Apply for your emergency rent assistance if you need it. Don't shy away. Don't be bashful. The money is there. Get it. Take care. Be well. And thank you, Max, or whomever is behind the dial this evening.
I'm gonna tell you a story about the house rent blues. I had a good job showing up for 5 long years. Lord have mercy. The old landlady was so lovey-dovey for 5 long years. She was so nice and kind in every way. Every Friday evening I come home with my paycheck, she'll smile. She was so lovey-dovey. My meal's on time. My bath water be ready. Everything be ready. It rocked on. One Friday evening I come home. I said, landlady. She said, what, Johnny? I done lost my job. She said, what? I done lost my job. And I began to notice then, when I come home in the evening time, she wouldn't smile, acting all sad, acting what's wrong, so I ain't feeling good. I said, Lord, have mercy. It rocked on. One Friday evening I come in, she said, where you been? I've been looking for a job. I said, you ain't been trying to find no job. I said, yes, I am. And she told me, the other evening she passed by, she saw me on the corner, leaning against a post. I said, I guess my feet was tired, been walking all day. I'm tired, I just can't find no job. She said, yeah. She said, I want my rent. I said, I ain't got no job.
Our 2021 election is getting underway. Listener democracy keeps our station connected to the people and accountable to you and listeners just like you. Look for your ballot in your email box from Simply Voting or a bright blue postcard. If you need a replacement ballot, visit elections.pacifica.org and file a ballot request form. Call 510-993-0320 if you need a paper ballot. Paper ballot requests are available till October 1st. Videos of candidate forums and introductions are at elections.pacifica.org to help you pick your favorites. Ballots are due back by October 15th.
Hi, this is Hannah from WBAI's Premiums Department. As you may know, WBAI now has a new phone number to call to make donations or to pledge for premiums at 212-209-2950. Thank you for being a WBAI member and for making a contribution to keep the station afloat. But if you have a question about a premium, please do not call that number. All the call center can do is take down the info and send it to premiums@wbai.org, and time on the line costs us money. Instead, please email us directly with